The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Amy Wentley for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Poetry. For the next half hour, I will be reading various selections to you. I'm going to start out today with a poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay. It's entitled The Blue Flag in the Bog. Edna St. Vincent Millay lived from 1892 to 1950. This piece is from a poetry book that she published called Second April. It was published in 1921. The Blue Flag in the Bog. God had called us, and we came. Our loved earth to ashes left. Heaven was a neighbor's house open flung to us, bereft. Gay the lights of heaven showed, and 'twas God who walked ahead. Yet I wept along the road, wanting my own house instead. Wept, unseen, unheeded cry, all you things my eyes have kissed, fare you well. We meet no more, lovely, lovely tattered mist. Weary wings that rise and fall all day long above the fire. Red with heat was every wall, rough with heat was every wire. Fare you well, you little winds that the flying embers chase. Fare you well, you shuddering day, with your hands before your face. And ah, blackened by strange blight, or to a false sun unfurled, now forevermore goodbye, all the gardens in the world. On the windless hills of heaven, that I have no wish to see, white, eternal lilies stand by a lake of ebony. But the earth forevermore is a place where nothing grows. Dawn will come and no bud break, evening and no blossom close. Spring will come and wander slow over an indifferent land, stand beside an empty creek, hold a dead seed in her hand. God had called us, and we came, but the blessed road I trod was a bitter road to me, and at heart I questioned God. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the earth would most desire, held earth not save souls of sinners worth the saving from a fire? Withered grass, the wasted growing, aimless ache of laden boughs, little things God had forgotten, called me from my burning house. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the eye could ask to see, all the things I ever knew are this blaze in back of me. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the air could think to lack, all the things I ever knew are this roaring at my back. It was God who walked ahead like a shepherd to the fold. In his footsteps fared the weak and the weary and the old. Glad enough of gladness over, ready for the peace to be. But a thing God had forgotten was the growing bones of me. And I drew a bit apart, and I lagged a bit behind, and I thought on eternal peace, lest he look into my mind. And I gazed upon the sky, and I thought of heavenly rest, and I slipped away like water through the fingers of the blessed. All their eyes were fixed on glory, not a glance brushed over me. Alleluia, alleluia, up the road, and I was free. And my heart rose like a freshet, and it swept me on before, giddy as a whirling stick, till I felt the earth once more. All the earth was charred and black. Fire had swept from pole to pole, and the bottom of the sea was as brittle as a bowl. And the timbered mountain top was as naked as a skull. Nothing left of the earth so beautiful. Earth, I said, how can I leave you? You are all I have, I said. What is left to take my mind up, living always, and you dead? Speak, I said. Oh, tell me something. Make a sign that I can see, for a keepsake, to keep always quick, before God misses me. and I listened for a voice. But my heart was all I heard. Not a screech owl, not a loon, not a tree toad said a word. And I waited for a sign. Coals and cinders, nothing more. And a little cloud of smoke floating on a valley floor. And I peered into the smoke till it rotted like a fog. There, encompassed round the fire, stood a blue flag in a bog. Little flames came wading out, straining towards its stem. But it was so blue and tall that it scorned to think of them. Red and thirsty were their tongues, as the tongues of wolves must be. But it was so blue and tall. Never loved I anything as I loved that tall blue flower. It was all the little boats that had ever sailed the sea. It was all the little books that had gone to school with me. On its roots, like iron claws rearing up so blue and tall, it was all the gallant earth with its back against a wall. In a breath, ere I had breathed, oh, I laughed, I cried to see. I was kneeling at its side, and it leaned its head on me. Crumbling stones and sliding sand is the road to heaven now. Icy at my straining knees drags the awful undertow. Soon but stepping stones of dust will the road to heaven be. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, reach a hand and rescue me. There, there, my blue flag flower. Hush, hush, go to sleep. That is only God you hear counting up his folded sheep. Lullaby, lullaby. That is only God that calls, missing me, seeking me, ere the road to nothing falls. He will set his mighty feet firmly on the sliding sand. Like a little frightened bird, I will creep into his hand. I will tell him all my grief. I will tell him all my sin. He will give me half his robe for a cloak to wrap you in. Lullaby, lullaby. Rocks the burnt-out planet free. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, reach a hand and rescue me. Ah, the voice of love at last. Lo, at last the face of light, and the whole of his white robe for a cloak against the night. And upon my heart asleep, all the things I ever knew. Holds heaven not some cranny, Lord, for a flower so tall and blue? All's well, all's well. Gay the lights of heaven show. In some moist and heavenly place, we will set it out to grow. For my next selection, I've chosen Sonnet, Rarely, Rarely Comest Thou, Spirit of Delight. This is a poem by Gavin Ewart. So, you come into the kitchen one morning, the only room with cat flap access, and you find the larger cat covered in blood on a chair and patches of blood on the chair and the floor. His left foreleg is limp. He can't move it from the wrist, as it were. A car, a tomcat, a dog, or even a suburban fox. Pathetic. When you stroke him, he still gives a very faint purr. He limps about on drugs. 2 weeks, the damaged nerve is healing. Our alleluias go up because we're there and see it. It's like the end of a famine in Ethiopia, more real for us. The genuine rejoicing that shakes a people at the end of a war. Crowds drinking, singing, splashing in the fountains. What am I missing? How far are you? How do I know how much time there is? What's this? It says 29 minutes. How do I know?
Okay, you see, right there, it's either count up or count down.
Okay.
So that's how long you've been recording.
That's how long I've been recording.
Yeah, 16 minutes.
Okay.
Or,
but why is it still running? I didn't think I was still recording. I thought it was paused. For my daughter, in reply to a question, by David Ignatow. We're not going to die. We'll find a way. We'll breathe deeply and eat carefully. We'll think always on life. There'll be no fading for you or for me. We'll be the first, and we'll not laugh at ourselves ever, and your children will be my grandchildren. Nothing will have changed except by addition. There'll never be another as you, and never another as I. No one will ever confuse you, nor confuse me with another. We will not be forgotten and passed over, and buried under the births and deaths to come. And the next is Day Bath by Deborah Spencer for my son. Last night I walked him back and forth, his small head heavy against my chest, round eyes watching me in the dark, his body a sandbag in my arms. I longed for sleep, but couldn't bear his crying, so bore him back and forth until the sun rose and he slept. Now the doors are open, noon sunlight coming in, and I can see fuchsias opening. Now we bathe. I hold him. The soap makes our skins glide past each other. I lay him wet on my thighs, his head on my knees, his feet dancing against my chest. And I rinse him, pouring water from my cupped hand. No matter how I feel, he's the same, eyes expectant, mouth ready with his fat legs and arms, his belly, his small, solid back. Last night, I wanted nothing more than to get him out of my arms. Today, he fits neatly. He fits neatly along the hollow my thighs make, and with his fragrant skin against mine, I feel brash, like a sunflower. Next is a selection by W.S. Merwin called A Birthday. Sometimes it continues and I don't know what to call it, though the language is full of suggestions in the way of language, but they are all anonymous, and it's almost your birthday music next to my bones. These night we hear the horses running in the rain. It stops and the moon comes out and we are still here. The leaks in the roof go on dripping after the rain has passed. Smell of ginger flowers slips through the dark house down near the sea. The slow heart of the beacon flashes. The long way to you is still tied to me, but it brought me to you. I keep wanting to give you what is already yours. It is the morning of the mornings together. Breath of summer. Oh, my found one, the sleep in the same current and each waking to you. When I open my eyes, you are what I wanted to see. And now we'll hear from Andrew Marvell, Thoughts in a Garden. What wondrous life is this I lead? Ripe apples drop about my head. The luscious clusters of the vine upon my mouth do crush their wine. The nectarine and curious peach into my hands themselves do reach. Stumbling on melons as I pass, ensnared with flowers, I fall on the grass. Meanwhile, the mind from pleasure less withdraws into its happiness. The mind, that ocean where each kind does straight its own resemblance find. Yet it creates, transcending these far other worlds and other seas, annihilating all that's made to a green thought in a green shade. Berryman by W.S. Merwin. I will tell you what he told me in the years just after the war, as we then called the Second World War. Don't lose your arrogance yet, he said. You can do that when you're older. Lose it too soon, and you may merely replace it with vanity. Just one time he suggested changing the usual order of the same words in a line of verse. Why point out a thing twice? He suggested I pray to the muse, get down on my knees and pray right there in the corner, and he said he meant it literally. It was in the days before the beard and the drink, but he was deep in tides of his own through which he sailed, chin sideways and head tilted, like a tacking sloop. He was far older than the dates allowed for, much older than I was. He was in his 30s. He snapped down his nose with an accent. I think he had affected in England. As for publishing, he advised me to paper my wall with rejection slips. His lips and the bones of his long fingers trembled with the vehemence of his views about poetry. He said, the great presence that permitted everything and transmuted it in poetry was passion. Passion was genius, and he praised movement and invention. I had hardly begun to read. I asked, how can you ever be sure that what you write is really any good at all? And he said, you can't. You can't. You can never be sure. You die without knowing whether anything you wrote was any good. If you have to be sure, don't write. Now we will hear from Wesley McNair. This poem is entitled The Future. On the afternoon talk shows of America, the guests have suffered life's sorrows long enough. All they require now is the opportunity for closure, to put the whole thing behind them and get on with their lives. That their lives, in fact, are getting on with them, even as they announce their requirement, is written on the faces of the younger ones, wrinkling their brows, and the skin of their elders collecting just under their set chins. It's not easy to escape the past. But who wouldn't want to live in a future where the worst has already happened, and Americans can finally relax after daring to demand a different way? For the rest of us, the future, barring variations, turns out to be not so different from the present, where we have always lived. The same struggle of wishes and losses and hope, that old lieutenant picking us up every so often to dust us off and adjust our helmets. Adjustment, for that matter, may be the one lesson hope has to give, serving us best when we begin to find what we didn't know we wanted and what the future brings. Nobody would have asked for the ice storm that takes down trees and knocks the power out, leaving nothing but two buckets of snow melting on the wood stove and candlelight so weak the old man sitting at the kitchen table can hardly see to play cards. Yet how else but by the old woman's laughter, when he mistakes a jack for a queen, would he look at her face in the half-light as if for the first time, while the kitchen around them and the very cards he holds in his hands disappear? In the deep moment of his looking and her looking back, there is no future. Only right now, all, anyway, each one of us has ever had, and all the two of them sitting together in the dark among the cracked notes of the snow thawing beside them on the stove, right now, will ever need. And this will be our last selection of the day. My Husband Discovers Poetry by Diane Lockwood. Because my husband would not read my poems, I wrote one about how I did not love him. In lines of strict iambic pentameter, I detailed his coldness, his lack of humor. It felt good to do this. Stanza by stanza, I grew bolder and bolder. Towards the end, struck by inspiration, I wrote about my old boyfriend, a boy I had not loved enough to marry, but who could make me laugh and laugh. I wrote about a night years after we parted when my husband's coldness drove me from the house and back to my old boyfriend. I even included the name of a seedy motel well known for hosting quickies. I have a talent for verisimilitude. In sensuous images, I described how my boyfriend and I stripped off our clothes, got into bed, and kissed and kissed, and then spent half the night telling jokes, many of them about my husband. I left the ending deliberately ambiguous, then hid the poem away in an old trunk in the basement. You know how this story ends. How my husband one day loses something, goes into the basement, and rummages through the old trunk. How he uncovers the hidden poem and sits down to read it. But do you hear the strange sounds that floated up the stairs that day? The sounds of an animal, its paw caught in one of those traps with teeth of steel? Do you see the wounded creature at the bottom of the stairs, his shoulders hunched over and shaking, fist in his mouth and choking back sobs? It was my husband paying tribute to my art. So I am just going to use up the time here to see how this works out. I have got 4 minutes left. Let's see what'll do it. Oh, here's one by John Donne. We like him. Hymn to God, My God, in My Sickness by John Donne. Since I am coming to that holy room, where with thy choir of saints forevermore I shall be made thy music. As I come, I tune the instrument here at the door, and what I must do then, think here before. Whilst my physicians by their love are grown, cosmographers, and I their map, who lie flat on this bed, that by them may be shown that this is my southwest discovery, per fretum fibris, by these straits to die. I joy that in these straits I see my west, for though their currents yield return to none, what shall my west hurt me? as west and east in all flat maps, and I am one are one. So death doth touch the resurrection. Is the Pacific Sea my home? Or are the eastern riches? Is Jerusalem, Anyan and Magellan and Gibraltar, all straits and none but straits, are ways to them? Whether where Japhet dwelt, or Cam, or Shem, we think that paradise and Calvary, Christ's cross and Adam's tree, stood in one place. Look, Lord, and find both Adams met in me. As the first Adam's sweat surrounds my face, may the last Adam's blood my soul embrace. So in his purple wrapped receive me, Lord. By these his thorns give me his other crown. And as to other souls I preached thy word, be this my text, my sermon to my own, therefore that he may raise, the Lord throws down. And that's poetry. And so the things I'm going to want to do next time is I'm going to want to have some music between poems. That would be really cool. Fade in and fade out. That would be a lot better. Also want to get some background information on some of the poems so I can add in, you know, a little interesting side notes and things like that. So I will do that also. And right now I'm sitting here waiting for 60 minutes to be left so I can finish this program. We will see how that goes. So, anyway, this was really interesting, and I have 52 seconds until I have 1 minute left. Where's my outro, anyway? Outro, outro, outro. There we go. Yay. And so we wait 30 seconds. Okay, so what do I do? Because you're still on. That's cool. And we're coming to the end of things right now. So, we've run out of time for today's episode of poetry. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Amy Wentley, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Poetry is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.